The Story of the Middle Ages, Chapter 15. This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information or to volunteer, please visit LibriVox.org. This reading by Kara Schallenberg. The Story of the Middle Ages by Samuel B. Harding, Chapter 15. Life of the Monastery. In the last two chapters, we have studied the life of the castle, of the village, and of the town. We must now see what the life of the monastery was like. In the Middle Ages, men thought that storms and lightning, famine and sickness, were signs of the wrath of God, or were the work of evil spirits. The world was a terrible place to them, and the wickedness and misery with which it was filled made them long to escape from it. Great numbers, therefore, abandoned the world and became monks, to serve God and save their souls. In this way, monasteries arose on every hand and in every Christian land. It was not long before men began to feel the need of rules to govern the monasteries. If the monks were left each to do what he thought best, there would be trouble of all sorts. A famous monk named Benedict drew up a series of rules for his monastery, and these served the purpose so well that they were adopted for many others. In course of time, the monasteries of all Western Europe were put under the Benedictine rule, as it was called. The dress of the monks was to be of coarse woolen cloth, with a cowl or hood which could be pulled up to protect the head, and about the waist a cord was worn for a girdle. The gown of the Benedictines was usually black, so they were called black monks. As the centuries went by, new orders were founded, with new rules, but these usually took the rule of Saint Benedict and merely changed it to meet new conditions. In this way arose white monks, and monks of other names. In addition, orders of friars were founded, who were like the monks in many ways, but lived more in the world, preaching, teaching, and caring for the sick. These were called black friars, grey friars, or white friars, according to the color of their dress. Besides the orders for men, too, there were orders for women, who were called nuns, and in some places nunneries became almost as common as monasteries. Let us try now to see what a Benedictine monastery was like. One of the Benedict's rules provided that every monastery should be so arranged that everything the monks needed would be in the monastery itself, and there would be no need to wander about outside. "For this," said Benedict, "is not at all good for their souls." Each monastery, therefore, became a settlement complete in itself. It not only had its halls, where the monks ate and slept, but its own church. It also had its own mill, its own bake oven, and its own workshops, where the monks made the things they needed. The better to shut out the world, and to protect the monastery against robbers, the buildings were surrounded by a strong wall. Outside this lay the fields of the monastery, where the monks themselves raised the grain they needed, or which were tilled for them by peasants, in the same way that the lands of the lords were tilled. Finally there was the woodland, where the swine were herded, and the pasture lands, where the cattle and sheep were sent to graze. The amount of land belonging to a monastery was often quite large. Nobles and kings frequently